Spiritual Practice, Part 1, by Swami Suryadevananda. A few thoughts before we begin. Usually, we strive towards something that is apart from ourselves. Here we are, and there or that is what we would like to attain. What is attempted to attain is different from who we are in being. To put it simply, the what, which is to be attained, is different from the who, or the person who will attain it. I will make the effort to attain that. I am here now, and what is sought is not. But by correct and focused effort, its attainment seems possible. The person as such does not matter as much as the effort needed. What is to be attained is somehow a result of the effort made towards its attainment. But here, in sadhana, which is spiritual practice, the focus is on ourselves, to remove all obstacles so that one's true nature can be seen. Thus, the uncompromising and unrelenting effort is on doing the sense of I, or undoing, sorry, the sense of I, while at the same time focusing that freed up sense of I on knowing itself. We have come to equate success with results, giving importance to the result and largely ignoring the process. In spiritual practice, the effort itself blossoms as the sort. What we seek is already here and now. All our efforts are aimed at removing the obstacles we ourselves have constructed and sustained. We are not working towards something for the sense of I or me, but undoing the sense of I or me. The difficulty lies in at once mustering and sustaining the level of sincerity needed to realize one's true nature. Wholehearted practice has to be sustained by the fire of sincere aspiration and kept ablaze through the storms of old habit, which gradually weaken by disuse. Existing likes and dislikes must be recycled, so all the energy is directed towards knowing the self, which at the same time helps weaken the old habits further. Thus, spiritual effort is not towards an attainment of something new or non-existent now. What we seek is to know by direct experience our true nature, which, though here and now, eludes our vision due to the strong force of habits. The track of habitual ways was created and is sustained by our own selves. We are the makers and sustainers of the ties that bind, and we must unmake and dissolve the very ties we have created to realize our true nature. To realize means to make real, not conceptually, but real, so that there is no mistaking again. Towards this end, the great teacher Shankaracharya has given us 5 verses on sadhana which are most useful. Written in verse form originally, I have laid them out as individual instructions with some thoughts that I hope will inspire a framework for your practice. This study will be in 5 sessions, as there are 5 chapters to it. Today we take up the first chapter and we call it the first stage. The beginning verse contains instructions regarding what the aspirant should do while leading his normal life, remaining in his own house. This stage is preparatory to entering the spiritual path. a stage when the aspirant attunes his whole personality, which is his body, the organs of sense, action, mind, and intellect, with the spirit within. 1. Study the scriptures daily. Inspiration. We are not studying the scriptures, so to say, but through the scriptures, we are studying ourselves. The scriptures recommended are called moksha shastras, or scriptures dealing with liberation. These are the records of those great ones who have gone before us, trodden the path to the pinnacle, and left us their experiences. The highlight of these scriptures is that they are verified by many and verifiable by any who are sincere and enthusiastic to put forth the effort needed. We are not asked to follow these scriptures blindly, but to read them full-heartedly and exert earnestly towards validation of the truths contained. The scriptures act as correctives to how we see things in our day-to-day life, till we can actualize them, which is to exert and validate them and have our own direct experience. Immunization. It will not do much good to study the scriptures every day, get good at them, but ourselves be unable and unwilling to act on and from their teachings. It would be just like buying medicines or taking vitamins, never taking them, and continuing with poor health habits. Look, my friends, we live and work among people of different inclinations and temperaments, and need to work in common ground. Each person has their own rationale for their views, as all evolve at their own pace. In communication, we share ideas on different things. When we listen to others, especially with those we consider dear, kith or kin, we relax our vigilance. There is a difference between vigilance and being guarded, so to say. With vigilance, we are listening wholeheartedly, but intelligently. We do not accept things just because of the nearness and dearness of the speaker. We do not analyze things either, but while listening, we are directly looking within to see if what is said can actually be so. This becomes possible on the strength of our study and research from the records of others who have trodden the path to the summit and left us their verified experiences. These experiences are our strength and encouragement till we have our own. Remembrance. Study scriptures on liberation daily, not to master the scriptures again, but to remember to master yourself. Our inspiration and immunization tends to fall short in the face of all of what is already here, ready to experience and delight in right now. The tantalizing promise of joy and the happiness that people, things, and conditions promise comes at a very steep price, which only starts making itself known when you are committed. The lure of our people, kith and kin, is based on a deeper trust that you are vitally and organically connected to all, but relationships are rarely, if anchored in this feeling, for then there would be no need to get related, as you are already vitally. This is why remembrance becomes so very important. We must remember to put our studies into practice in the lab of our minds and life. Number 2. Perform your duties expertly. Earlier, people knew what was needed to be done and how it should be done. People also had more time in their day both where they learned how to live while working towards the goal of life and making a livelihood as well. Things have reversed, as making a livelihood now is first and foremost, while working towards the goal of life is something that may be squeezed into any free time as felt needed. If you ask someone, "Why do you work?" you would probably get the answer, "I have to live, of course." And if you ask someone, "Why do you live?" you may get various answers, but they would more likely go in circles and point to, "I have to, something, something, something." In days gone by, reminders of why we live were tied to certain rituals that reminded one of the goal of life. At different stages of outer accomplishment, there were reminders in the forms of certain rituals where God was worshipped and thanked, not just by words, but by giving in charity substantially. It is one thing to say, "God and all, God as all," but go about our business. It is another thing, my friends, to walk that talk and let what we feel, say, reflect in our conduct in a substantial way. There is a surprising amount of hypocrisy that goes on behind the screen of our social conduct, and unless we are relentless in our self-examination and set to ascend inwardly, it will be overlooked. Today, times have changed, and people's outer lives do not necessarily reflect progressive spiritual ascent or their inner lives. The link between our outer lives and inner spiritual ascent have broken. And now, each sincere spiritual seeker will have to find a way to make his or her outer life reflect an inner roadmap. Still. So what do we do, and how do we proceed? We can still start at the offering end. Do everything as an offering to God, for with that spirit, the heart and mind will find the best way to do, and not just the best way to get the most out of one's actions. By dedicating all actions to God, it does not mean just saying that you are doing so in your prayer, but to do them with the spirit of God's presence here and now, in one and all, and to be able to offer a substantial share of what comes as remuneration back, as well as an offering unto God. In this way, actions are converted into karma yoga, or work that exhausts karma and for self-purification through living prayer. Existing self-centered ways are overwritten by the new feeling of God's omnipresence, not just in words or feeling, but validated in life by actions and the fruit of actions. Thus, these new cycles that generate and advance take you forward and onward into the march of spiritual perfection. 3. Worship God through selfless action. A little about karma yoga. How does one worship God? By our actions. Just remembering God and mentally saying that you offer your actions to God will not do. To offer is to give wholeheartedly in what you do, how you do, and what comes as a result of your actions, which is more than one's need. To not do this makes it charity, which is also a good thing, but not yoga. Let us see how we can do both. To do what needs to be done, because it needs to be done, or on its own merit, and to share the fruits of our actions with others who are in need. Step 1. When the what's in it for me is taken out of perception and action, we see things universally, ourselves standing together with all. Personal or self-centered way of looking at things is not real seeing, because it is like looking from our advantage point of view. If I am at a train station and only looking for a person in a red shirt with a white cap, I am not really seeing. You would be surprised at how much we miss because of these blinders of self first, my family, my community, my people. We exhaust our conditioning, which is all the desires, conditioning fueled by I and my that we carry, by being aware of them, not fulfilling them, but instead by doing what needs to be done because it needs to be done. Thus we exhaust existing karmic seeds via karma yoga or action as yoga. Step 2. The first step can be taken further by unhesitatingly offering a portion of any money that comes from our actions as charity to those in real need. With this, there is further expansion of heart. As earlier, we found a way to stand together with others. Now, we are reaching the parameters to share with those in need and thus raise the bar to work as worship. 4. Detach the mind from desire-motivated action. Desires. Desire-motivated action stems from a mind with desires. Desires need not be for things or wealth. They can be for certain conditions, outcomes, or even in your spiritual practice. Desires pop up in the mind because we have associated the object of desire with a value. This association is not in the person, condition, or thing, but in our own mind. The mind cannot be kept in a vacuum when it has energy infused in it. The mind's energy has to be given a new flow or channel where the desires and limited sense of I are absent, and instead, ideas of universality are encouraged. Though we feel that the object of desire is outside, the value is self-ascribed, self-sustained, and within. If we somehow deflate the value of the object, we no longer desire it. This is difficult at first, as desires keep the mind in a diffused state and weakened due to our loves widely scattered. Blaze anew. Cut a new pathway in the mind by desiring God for the flow of our love. Build on this by wanting to give or do something for others in need as service to God in all. These are not two different things, my friends, but one double-sided action of cutting a single path for our desires and giving the mind a new alternative of seeing the welfare of others as our own welfare and joy. Soon, the energy in the mind will find satisfaction in love for love's sake and welfare of others as our joy. Inner expansion will give you an even broader outlook. Existing desires will weaken by disuse, and a new satisfaction will be felt by doing for others instead of just ourselves. 5. Destroy all sins. What are sins? Any notion or feeling that gives rise to a wrong sense of I will demand action towards nurturing, protecting, and appeasing this I. We have already cut new pathways of doing what needs to be done rather than what I would like to do, and sharing what we have with those in need instead of keeping all or most of it for me and mine. So be vigilant. Cultivate unrelenting vigilance so the mind does not get associated with any existing tendencies. The practice of japa and meditation will cultivate vigilance. Avoid being distracted and do one thing at one time with all of your being. The inner world must be brought into the field of observation along with all that you see outside. But that is not enough. You have to learn to endure too. While you are cutting new ways of thinking, feeling, and action, old deeds and habits will knock on the door. Let them exhaust themselves by enduring them bravely. For this, lead a simple life and do not depend on others for any of your work or needs. If it is not there, learn to go on just fine without it. Never let the mind panic or scream for something. Take joy in what comes naturally and be joyful when you don't have things. Get this joy from your love, adoration, and meditation on God, knowing that you never walk alone. The more you find fulfillment in God, the less your mind will clamor for anything, and it will be perfectly satisfied in any condition because the flow of attention is steady within. All sins will be gradually weakened when you are perfectly satisfied in God. 6. Reflect over the defects in sense pleasure and life cycles. Renew. New and good pathways in the mind should be cut immediately. This will give existing energy a healthy and productive channel for its flow. Do not delay on this, as old habits die hard and will attack with redoubled force if there is a pause or stagnation in your practice. Never underestimate the force of old habits. The heart has to change from seeking the changing and passing and temporary to wanting the unchanging and eternal. So inquire. As you have the momentum from cutting new channels, inquire into the defects and imperfections of pleasures existing, especially those that you have entertained earlier. Inquire without developing any aversion for pleasures or those who pursue them. This is important. Let others do their own thing as they feel best. If you have a good spiritual practice or sadhana plan, you will have plenty of good things to put your mind on. Cultivate the habit of keeping the mind on the mantra repeated silently, or on your breathing, or the mantra repeated silently aligned to your breathing. With the mind introverted, your observation will be steady and free of the ego's criticizing and judging nature. Recycle. When the energy is drained out of desires, it can be channeled into your spiritual practice or sadhana. When the mind gets boisterous, change activities. Do something that does not involve the mind. Study the mind and know when it gets into certain moods. Match the existing mode of the mind with an activity that can continue. For this, my friends, you need a full toolbox of spiritual practices or sadhana. Being specialized will not give you many options. What you are doing is recycling different modes of energy. Tamas or dullness and lethargy is converted to rajas or dynamism, and rajas or dynamism to sattva or stability and balance. 7. Firmly resolve to attain liberation. Start with energy. The earlier steps are designed to universalize one's outlook, and with this, there is added strength for setting the resolves needed in spiritual life. They will also calm the mind by reducing some of its dullness and passion. You will find a new supply of energy available for sadhana or spiritual practice from the inner changes. Utilize it effectively. If you do not, the energy will once again run through old pathways or grooves with redoubled vigor, as it cannot sit in a vacuum. Resolves. It is easier to make a resolve for your spiritual goals when you have the momentum. So do it now. But don't just stop there. Have a good plan for your sadhana that is just right. Do not aim too low or too high. And do not give the mind any leniency, or it will assert its old ways very quickly. Swami Sivashivananda's Trishul. A Trishul is a trident. It has three prongs. Swami Sivananda gave us three tools to get started and to continue to stay motivated in our spiritual sadhana. First, put your resolve down in writing and write down what you will do this month and over the next 3 months, generally in a sentence-sized statement. Have some tangible goals so that you can measure your efforts. Secondly, have a good plan to do these and a weekly spiritual diary to keep track of them, listing the items and times to do them. Third, have a system of self-accountability from which you do not waver. Let it have some envelopes ready to send to charity, donations, or the resolve to skip a meal and do more sadhana, or give something away in charity like a shirt or some clothes. This is a process of self-accountability for missing anything in your spiritual practice. These three together should not be spineless. They must be enforced. You can find samples of these in the book Sadhana by Swami Sivananda, published by the Divine Life Society. Our eighth and last point for today: leave your own house. It may sound drastic, but listen with an open mind. We'll talk a little bit about changes. Aside from a place to live, a house is also our familiar zone. Nowadays, people move around geographically much more than in earlier days, but have more memories that are mobile, memories stored digitally that one has access to them instantly. Earlier, there were limited means of communication. Today, there is instant live communication and sharing. Earlier, when people relocated, communication and contact faded away. Today, it does not matter where you go. Instant communication is possible and expected. Also, what you share with one person can quickly get broadcast to all irresponsibly. Before you consider leaving home physically, start leaving psychologically by inner change in establishing a solid practice and starting with a new current in the mind stream. Uncertainty. Spiritual life is not something that can be shared and talked about, as it resonates with one at a depth unique to each one. When one feels a call to the spiritual life, it is best to keep these thoughts and one response to oneself so that it does not become casual conversation. The early periods of spiritual life are times when much is sorted out, arranged, and therefore periods of change and perhaps even some uncertainty till one is established in their own practice. Let's move further and look at getting started. Some helpful initial practices are a simple asana routine to get the body and energy in good order. Study, as we have discussed earlier. Prayer, which includes kirtan and japa. Some form of selfless service yoga or karma yoga, where one can do some serviceful work to others and loosen the sense of self-importance and me first. A daily brisk walk or jog for exercise, to just be by oneself outdoors without the need for thinking, planning, or worrying, etc. Thus, keep the routine simple, but have an intelligent system of self-accountability, like Swami Sivananda's spiritual diary that we have discussed earlier. RSRD. And I know you're probably thinking, what is this? With so much digital media available, one can find what one needs to get started towards having one's own practice right where they are initially. Just as still waters run deep, it is good to be a little quiet about one's practice, as there is much sorting out and perhaps some changes to be done by and for oneself. So what is this RSRD? Run silent, run deep. A good principle in regards one's outlook and practice. This inner detachment is like an inner relocation and gives you room to change, correct, and sort things out. You will also be able to know clearly if an outer relocation is necessary and at what stage. The most important thing is to protect your spiritual fire, the flame of aspiration. When that gets doused or begins to get doused by your contact where you are, it may be time to move. This is not a small thing, my friends, as it is a precious and a call to the soul. Be wise. Read the lives of yogis and saints who have trodden this path before, and draw inspiration from them. You will be infused by ideas for your own journey. You are never really alone in the spiritual path, though it sure feels like it sometimes. This happens because we are habituated to being with others outwardly or physically. In spiritual life, you have to discover that you are one with all at all times inwardly, vitally, and thus never alone, but all one. So chalk out a program of life, as Swami Sivananda advises. Take stock of what has to be done and what can be let go. Delay not, my friends. Begin your simple practice today itself. Pray incessantly, not for this or for that, but for light on the path, inner strength to stay the course, and wisdom to sift through the essential and the unessential. Above all, exert tenaciously and reflect. Have this resolve form, spiritual diary, the intelligent system of self-punishment or self-accountability. These three, as we have already discussed, make up Swami Sivananda's Trishul or Trident. You can learn more about them in his book Sadhana, which I have already mentioned before, published by the Divine Life Society. Make the necessary adjustments within and always be cheerful. What we have covered today. Friends, we have covered 8 out of 40 small cryptic instructions or guidance that have been left for us. Let us review them in point form. Study the scriptures daily. Remember, through the scriptures, you are studying yourself. Perform your duties expertly. Learn how to do what needs to be done and not always what is in my interest. Worship God through selfless action. This will take out the selfishness from you and at the same time cultivate the feeling of God in all till you see God as all. Detach the mind from desire-motivated action. As you get vigilant, you will learn to see things that need to be done and do what needs to be done. It will build on the earlier principles we have talked about. Destroy all sins. Remember, sins are not so much in the action as in the ignorance that prompts the action. Reflect over the defects in sense pleasures and life cycles. This you must do continually without developing an aversion or hatred for sense pleasures or those who choose to pursue them. A firm resolve to attain liberation. Not tomorrow, my friends, but today, here and now. Not because it's a good idea, but it is your mission. And leave your own house, psychologically at first, but have the strength, if it means physically, to be able to follow through. Friends, thank you for joining me today. We've talked about a good many things, 8 principles, and we'll take up the rest of week 8 each time till we complete all 50. For more information, to download the audio, video, or PDF handout of today's session, kindly visit suryadevananda.org. Thank you.